1 Corinthians 13. We'll look back at our thought, good for nothing. If you promise to remember how these clanging wrenches sound, I won't do it again tonight. It irritates me about as much as it does you. But I am trying to make the point that Paul made, better said, that God makes. And that all we do, the best we do, giving our all is no good without love. That says a lot. It's like clanging cymbals, a bunch of noise. And I want to look at that again. Begin reading in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, could I remind you, listen to what he says of the abilities that he will have, but without charity it's nothing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, though I have all faith, that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not of iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I put our hearts back into verse 3 where it talks about, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We are good for nothing. Our effort is good for nothing. I've looked at the perception and the permanence and the prominence and the portrait and perversion and patience of love. I want to look tonight, and then probably next time I'll get to the message that I really wanted to preach. But tonight, the people of love. One thing that you see in this verse that doesn't just jump out, but is very clear, is indicated that he's talking about people. He is talking about people. He is talking about those who love and those who are loved. Those who don't love and those who aren't loving. The people of love. I want to say tonight that having a friend, someone who loves you, is a blessing. And being a friend, someone you can care, that you care for, that is a blessing. The blessings involved with friendship. A friendship is someone loving another, caring for them, being willing to help them, and that is a blessing. If you have one friend, you ought to appreciate it. You should not take them for granted. Some have wrongly said, I don't need anybody. Well, according to Scripture, that is an inaccurate statement. In fact, God has designed us where we need people. He said it is not good for man to be alone. And that's not just talking about a helpmate or a wife or a husband. It's talking about the need of mankind, our need to have others. We are likened to a body, the church is, Christians are. And all of our body is made up of parts and members, but each member depends on another. That's exactly how it is with the body of Christ and with mankind. Much of the New Testament is dealing with how God wants His people to act around people and to be to them what is needed. Much of the New Testament deals with how we as people, and especially God's people, are to be a help to others. I say that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a friend and a blessing to be a friend. And I'll have to be honest, if you have many real friends, you are a blessed person. And that's, I believe, what Paul is saying. The blessings involved with the friendship, number one, it's a blessing to have and be a friend because a friend can provide cheer. A good friend can pick you up when you're down. A good friend can help you when you're dragging. A good and godly friend will make your day a little brighter and your load a little lighter. That's a blessing to have a good friend. They can provide the cheer in your life that might be lacking. It says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Well, I'll say that's a blessing. To have somebody who loves you no matter what, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, to have somebody who keeps on loving you, that's what we're talking about, loving. And to have somebody who loves you anyway. Oh, what a blessing that is. A real friend will love you when you're up and not want what you have. When you are blessed, when you are promoted, when you have good things happening to you, a real friend will rejoice with you and not want what you have. Now, you get a raise or you get a settlement or you get some kind of, your rich uncle dies, there'll be a whole lot of new friends that show up at your doorstep, but they are not your friend. But a real friend loves you when you're up and they won't want what you've got. It'll be more than just your pocketbook or your help or a handout they're looking for. They just want to be your friend. I say that's a blessing to have somebody who loves you and not your stuff. One of the things that we rich people battle with is people liking us for our money. And you do know I am being sarcastic, I hope. But I say this evening, a whole lot of rich people struggle with who to get married to because they don't know if they want them or the money. I say, when you've got a friend that loves you, whether you're up or whether you're down, that's a blessing. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth maketh many friends, and it sure does. Proverbs 19:6 says, every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Can't help but think about the prodigal son. Boy, when he had the money and he was buying the booze and paying for the party, he had a whole bunch of friends. But when the money ran out, he didn't have one friend anywhere. In fact, the only what we might call a friend is somebody who finally said, okay, go feed my swine. His friends were gone when his gifts and his money was gone. A real friend loves you when you're up and loves you when you're down, when you don't have anything. Proverbs 17:17 says, a brother is born for adversity. A brother, or I'll use the word friend here, is born to be there when you need them. When you're going through adversity, when you're going through the hardships, when your heart is broken, when things have fallen apart, when you don't know why God did what He did, that's when you need a friend. And a real friend that'll be there, oh, what a blessing that is. Sometimes they may not even know what to say. Sometimes they may not say a thing, but they are just there. It may be a short call on the phone that just says, I love you and I'm praying for you. What a blessing that is. And we all need that kind of friend, but listen, we all need to be that kind of friend. I'm talking about the blessings involved with friendship. A blessing is because people or friends can help you to cheer, can build you up. And if you've ever experienced this, if you ever had a friend that really helped you when you really needed a friend, you know, oh, what a blessing it is. You may even say, had it not been for them doing what they did when they did, or saying what they said when they said it, I don't know where I'd be right now. What a blessing that is. I say this evening, it's a blessing to have a friend and be a friend. I'm talking about love, the people of love. It's a blessing. Blessings involved with friendship. But I want to say it's not only a blessing because friends can provide cheer, but a friend can provide companionship. Notice what Jesus did. He did know people, by the way. He did at one time at least send out two by two. Most of the time he sent out more than one because he realized the importance of companionship, someone with you to do what you're supposed to do. And I'll tell you one thing, having somebody as a friend is a big blessing. It'll be like a companion. Paul thought that about Priscilla and Aquila. He called them my helpers in Christ Jesus. He said, they opened up their heart to me and helped me. What a good friend they must have been. The word helpers mean companion in labor. They labored with me. I did not have to do it by myself. Oh my, sometimes he did. And he spoke about how hard it was. Demons have forsaken me. No man stood with me. And you can hear in his voice the hardness of those times when he had to go alone and do it by himself. Paul said of Philemon, oh my dearly beloved and fellow laborer. He knew the importance of companionship. Someone who could go with you, go with it with you. Go through the issues and through the problems and through the tears with you. To do the job along beside you. What a blessing that is. Friendship can be a blessing because it can provide cheer and provide companionship, but also can provide confidence. Someone you can trust. Someone you know will be there. Someone you know loves you. Someone you know that will not betray you. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. Someone that you can have some confidence in, that you know if anybody's going to be there, they will. I tell you, if you got that kind of friend, you are blessed. That's what I'm talking about, the blessing of friendship. He talks about people of love, and that involves friendship. The person that you can trust, that have confidence in. The Bible says a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. In other words, somebody who doesn't love you, they'll tell everything they know about you. And they get thrilled about it. But somebody who loves you, even if that about you is true, even if you have failed, and it's not that they're ignoring what you did, it broke their heart because they love you, but they won't go spread it everywhere. If they talk to anybody about what you did or didn't do, they'll talk to God, but they won't tell others because they do not want to hurt you and they do not want your reputation soiled. I'm talking about the blessings of friendship, being a friend and needing a friend, being a friend and having a friend. It involves cheer and companionship and confidence. Well, I'll tell you one thing again, if you have somebody you can trust, a good friend that you know will take care of you and help you when you're going through trouble, you've got a good friend and that's a blessing. There was a man interviewing for a job, and he sat down with the potential boss man, and the potential boss man said, well, I heard that your boss or the job where you're coming from is kind of getting a little bit to where he doesn't know what to do, and he's kind of slipping a little bit, and he's just not as sharp as he used to be. And he quieted down and listened to the applicant, and here's what he said, oh, no, he's a fine man. He's still as sharp as ever. I have a lot of respect for him. You see, little did he know is that boss man was testing him. And later on he said, had he said anything negative about his previous boss, I would have never hired him. You see, you don't know when you're going to be tested. But whether being tested or not, right is right. And we need to be a friend, and we need to seek for friends that'll stand together. Well, you can't buy loyalty. You can't buy love. And it's not easy to be either. But I want to tell you one thing. We need them both. Very few things are more comforting than having a friend you can depend on, that you've got confidence in. I have mentioned first the blessings involved with friendships. It is a blessing to have somebody that you love and you know loves you. But there's not only the blessings involved with friendships, but there's the burdens involved with friendships. Now, if you don't have a friend, if you don't know somebody, then you don't have to worry about helping somebody. If they get hurt, don't mean anything to you because you're not connected to them. If they get to needing something, no burden on you. No skin off your teeth because you're not connected to them. But if you have a friend who's having a burden, or you have a friend that's going through trouble, it's a load on you. Why? Because you love them. Because you care for them. There's a burden related to friendship. But I want to say anything worthwhile, and friendship's worthwhile. Anything worthwhile doesn't come easy. And friendship doesn't come easy. Oh, you may get acquainted. You may meet somebody. You may see somebody every once in a while, and you always enjoy meeting them, and you have such a good time, and you just talk, and perhaps you laugh and have a good time, and they're gone, and you don't see them again for a couple of months or maybe longer. Well, that's not a burden, but that's not a real friend either. A real friend is probably, in fact, not only probably, it's going to be one or two, sooner or later, it's going to have a burden connected to that friendship. Because, listen, if I need somebody, remember what I said? God designed us where we need somebody. You need somebody. And that means somebody needs you. And therein is the burden of being a friend. A blessing, yes, but there's a burden. There's a price to pay. There's a weight to carry. There's a burden involved with being a friend and doing the right thing and being aware of their needs by listening to them and knowing what they're going through and knowing that how I act toward them will affect them. And that's a burden. That's a responsibility. A friend can be a burden because of differences. Ain't nobody like me, and I say amen too. But if there's no one like me, that means even my best friends are different than me. And that's what friendship is. Two different people loving each other and being there for each other and caring for each other. And that's what makes friendship a burden. Because you're trying to be there with someone who is different. And treat them right and think right and do right. And that's what a burden is. The burden of friendship, where it comes from. And we need to learn to be a friend to someone that's different than us, and that's not easy. Friendship is a burden because of differences. Everybody's got a different desire, different thoughts. Even we who are Christians who have so much similar and so much alike, and we believe so much the same, there's a lot that we're different about. You get close enough to somebody, you'll find that out. And friendship means I must learn how to somehow get along with them, and more than get along with them, be a friend to them when they're different than me. And learn how to put some things aside that don't matter. A friend is a burden because of differences. A friend is a burden because of disagreements. Even the best of friends will sooner or later disagree. Even the best of friends, sooner or later, are going to have problems between them. In fact, sometimes the best of the best of the best of the friends have the worst disagreements. And a friend, if you are one, you have to learn to work through disagreements and still be a friend. Now, there's no doubt there's some things that sever us so much that it's the best thing to break ties. The Bible talks about avoiding certain people or setting people aside and all that because of their lifestyle, but I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about friendship is a burden because of disagreements. When somebody believes different or thinks something that's different than us that we don't agree with, it's tough. It's difficult to keep caring for them and loving them anyway. By the way, they have the same battle you have. It's disagreements. We need to learn how to work through disagreements. Sometimes it's right to speak the truth in love. Here's that word again. Speak the truth in love. And sometimes it's right just to not say anything. I say pretty often to people, you don't have to say something. For instance, witnesses of somebody close in your family, sometimes it's best if we've told them and they know. Sometimes the best thing to do is just pray and not say a word. And that is exactly what the Lord says for us to do at times. So even with relationships and friendships, sometimes you need to talk it over and work it out and work it through. And you may just say, we're going to disagree agreeably. Let's not talk about this anymore. Because we're not getting anywhere and it's hurting our friendship. So let's just disagree agreeably. There are times you just need to say, it's just not worth fussing about. It's not worth arguing about. I'll keep quiet that I might keep my friend. And I think that's a biblical aspect. The burdens involved with friendship. It's a burden because of differences. They're not like me and I'm still supposed to be their friend. Because of disagreements, they even go further than being different. They disagree with me. And everybody knows I'm right all the time. But then also, a friend can be a burden because of difficulties. Difficulties. I don't know hardly anybody that's not hard having a hard time. I know very few people who are walking a smooth road right now. Most people I know are going through a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulty. And those kind of people who it seems like is all of us, they need a friend. They need somebody who will help them. And I say that's a burden on those who want to help. But we're talking about love. And love is willing to do it. A burden because of difficulties. 1 Peter 3:8 says, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. And that word compassion means to suffer as though it was you. That we care enough to where when we see they're hurting or troubled or burdened or going through a trial, that it's just in our heart, just like it's us going through it. That's what love is. That's what friendship is. And it's a blessing, but it's also a burden. Because you've got that burden, you've got that weight, you've got that heaviness. Hopefully, because you care for them. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he loved supremely, but his love caused him to hurt because he saw others hurting. He cared about their burdens. He wept when they wept. He hurt when they hurt. And that's a burden of being a friend because of difficulties. You're going to have friends that are going through difficult times. And they need you. And that extra weight, that call in the night that's not at a convenient time. That favor they ask of you. That prayer request they put on you when you already got more than you can handle. That's what being a friend is, but it's worthwhile. And that's what real love is. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. He said, preferring one another, put others before yourself. That's a burden. That's hard. That isn't easy, but that's what love is. That's what being a friend is. And it is a burden, but it's also a blessing. Being a friend can be a burden because of differences and disagreements and difficulties. It also can be a burden because of disappointments. And perhaps this weighs heavier on your heart than anything else, as far as friendship. Sometimes they're going to disappoint you, especially if you're a Christian and you want them to be saved, number one, and right, number two, and sold out, number three, and they're not. And you keep hoping and you keep praying and you keep encouraging and you do what you can to build them up and to get them stronger in the Lord and closer to God and more desire, and it seems like it's all wasted. This doesn't seem to happen when you hope they're going to get better, and sometimes it seems like it's working, and then seem like they fail right back into the same old habits again. I say there can be disappointments in relationship to friendship, and that is a burden. Jesus said to a man, "Friend, where art thou come?" You know who he's talking to? Judas. When he was selling them out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was betrayed in the worst of ways. Judas treated him worse than anybody could ever be treated. And Jesus never mistreated Judas one time. That's a burden. That, no doubt, was disappointing to the Lord. But he still was a friend, even to Judas. He still was a friend. Then later on, it says in that same chapter, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You're talking about disappointment. He had poured his life into those disciples. And if I could word it like this, when he needed them the most, they ran. You're talking about disappointment. But you know what? The next time they're all together, he says, "Peace. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I've come back." He still was a friend. I say friendship can be a burden because of disappointments. Ahithophel betrayed David. There's always going to be somebody who turns their back on you, and sometimes it'll be your best friend or a good friend. Job says, "My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me." He said, "My best friends detest me." And he hadn't done a thing wrong. Anytime you care about somebody, there's risk involved. The risk of being hurt, but it's worth it. There's a burden, but it's worth it. The blessing outweighs the burdens. C.S. Lewis said this, "The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe of all the dangers of love is hell." I want to read that again. "The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." There's dangers involved with love. There's burdens involved with love. But I want to say this evening, it's worth it. Not only is it worth it, this Bible says we are to be the friends that we ought to be and love each other as we should, to give love and receive love. And both are difficult. We ought to give the roses before the funeral shows up. Tell somebody you care about them that they're a blessing before it's too late. If they do something to help you, if they're just a blessing, tell them. Tell them. I have a friend that works so hard at being a friend. There's been times I've disappointed them, and they love me anyway. There's been times that I needed them and I called them and they were always there. There's been times I called more than one time a day and they didn't say, "Is it you again?" They were there. A true friend, and that friend's name is Jesus. He's always been there, and he never says, "Will you please leave me alone? You have come to me till I'm tired of it." No, he says, "I'm glad you've come." And that's a real friend. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that ought to be our relationship with others. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And of course, that's talking about Jesus. The Bible also says in Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." If you don't have friends, ask yourself, "Am I friendly?" If people don't approach you, ask yourself, "Do I approach them?" If people don't smile at you, ask yourself, "Do I smile at them first? Do I, when it's safe, reach out my hand?" If people don't call you, ask yourself, "Do I call them?" When you're sick and they don't call you, ask yourself, not why don't they call me, ask yourself, did I call them when they got sick last month? For us to have friends, we must be friends. And reaching out and putting forth the effort is worthwhile. But even if it wasn't, that's still what he tells us to do. He tells us to be a friend, to put forth the effort, to give ourselves. And those that are willing to do that will find out it's worthwhile. It's worth it. Friendship takes work. But all I'm responsible for is to do my part. How they receive it, how they react, it's up to them and between them and the Lord. And the Lord will work on them. I've said tonight the people of love. It's very practical, this thing of love. Not some magical, mystical emotion that floats around and Cupid sticks you with his arrow. It's God's people primarily walking through this life in God's way and loving people sometimes that are not lovable, but we're still to be people of love. Well, let's stand together. Many of you come. I realize this message, hopefully something we just take home and I hope put to practice. But you may need to come and pray about something tonight. There may be someone on your heart that you'd like to pray for. Be a good thing for a good friend to pray for somebody. Father, please speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear this message.